Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. He's been selected to present this by a blindfolded boy picking a ball out of a bowl. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Hello! Hooray! Hello! Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as some of the cool kids are calling it, Rahelastapa. And where's Andy gone? He's disappeared. Oh, he's there. That's so ridiculous. found a friend. That's good to see. So, welcome. It's very exciting news for me in the last couple of weeks because the idea of putting a Shrek in it was trending on Twitter. It was the top UK trend very briefly in Twitter as I suggested people put Shreks in things. Probably completely blowing this very sweet running joke in too quickly. That's the problem. But here were some of my favourites that people came up with. Some of them are mine. Some Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Sailor, a Shrek. Rita Sue and Bob too, and a Shrek as well. Basically, you just have to put a Shrek in things. It's... Some people didn't get it, they put Shrek in. It's not Shrek, it's a Shrek. And it's not for puns, it's just literally No Country for Old Men or a middle-aged Shrek. Kramer versus a Shrek. Or, I think better, Kramer versus Kramer and a Shrek. I think the Kramer with the Shrek would win. Frost Nixon a Shrek. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? A Shrek. With Nail and I am a Shrek. A Man for All Seasons is a Shrek for summer and winter, but not autumn. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which contained a mentally ill Shrek. It's a Wonderful Life Since a Shrek Turned Round and Stopped Me Jumping in the River. Turned up. I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I'm pretty sure about what a Shrek did in September. So anyway, that's that ruined, but I'm going to now... But the new one's going to be putting Tim from The Office... in things as well, but not in the title. That's rubbish. It actually has to be a character replaced with Tim from The Office, like in Sherlock Holmes. That's what's going to be the next thing that happens. That's going to be the next UK trend. Put a bet on it at Ladbrokes, because it's going to happen. And I was delighted to see that David Mitchell was mocking me, thinking I was seeing things like Justin Lee Collins in the street and the Shreks of Westminster Bridge. He said that could not have happened, but if you Google the Shreks of Westminster Bridge, you'll see a picture of one of the Shreks, and they do have human, they do have Shrek hands, so they're definitely real Shreks. And so it's Guy Fawkes night tonight. Yeah, anyone going to a fireworks party afterwards? I love Guy Fawkes. He is my favourite, one of my favourite. My favourite historical character is Perkin Warbeck, the pretender to the throne of Henry VII. I don't need to tell you that. I mainly like him because he's got a funny name, Perkin Warbeck. But I like Guy Fawkes, and the reason I like Guy Fawkes is because when he was apprehended in the cellars just about to light the fuse, they asked him what his name was, and he said his name was John Johnson, which shows a paucity of imagination. You'd think you would have prepared a name. Okay, if you're going to make up a name, A, you thought, oh, I'll get away with it, I'd give a false name. What's your address? One John Terrace, John Street, St. Johnston. What's your middle name? It's John. John Johnson seems unlikely. But he also escaped justice by, he's a bit like Fred West. Probably Guy Fawkes has killed more people ultimately than anyone else, any other serial killer. And he didn't succeed in his actual crime, but subsequently, thousands of people have been maimed and killed by fireworks and bonfires. He's killing for hundreds of years. I just read a QI said that they used to, in the 17th century, they used to put live cats inside the guys they put on fires in order to make the guy scream. So Guy Fawkes has been, that's pretty fun. But Guy Fawkes is meant to be hanged, drawn and quartered, which is pretty fucking horrible. Eviscerated, you get your cock chopped off, then you get cut into four bits and get sort of dragged all over. I think once you're in four bits, they hang you till you're nearly dead, but not quite dead. Then they take out your guts, cut off your cock, sort of put you into four bits and then put those four bits in different places. I think once you're in the four bits, I think the punishment's over. I think the point where your cock is off and you're going, my guts are hanging out, not my cock as well. I think you'd be kind of quite glad to be cut into four bits by that. But he escaped that by jumping off the scaffold. So he didn't get, he died. He killed, he took his own life. Like Harold Shipman. All the best ones do it. So his final victim was himself. For Guy Fawkes, he was his only victim. He knew of. Also in the news, a terrorist attack was prevented, and supposedly these guys who were going to carry out had the idea of driving a truck into a crowd of people, which is pretty bad, like you'd hurt some people, but then they were also going to put some butcher's knives on that truck to kill some other people as well. But that struck me as being quite similar to the terrorist atrocity that Charlie Brooker came up with on this very podcast, where he had the idea of two people on motorcycles with the sort of cheese wire held quite low so it would cut off everyone's feet. And then there'd just be loads of people lying around the street going, and their feet would be off. I'm just slightly worried that, you know, I know a lot of people from Al-Qaeda listening to this. They like my mixture of chatting with comedians plus sort of paedophile jokes. Which is mainly what it is. So I'm hoping that you know, the things we give out are just jokes. Do not try these terrorist attacks in reality. And you see, I've got a new notebook. Look at this. This is my Slytherin notebook. Yeah. I was in the Harry Potter world, as you may all know, a couple of weeks ago. And I don't really like Harry Potter. So what I thought I'd do to show J.K. Rowling, I bought a Slytherin notebook for £18.50. And so it showed I was pretty cool because I bought it in an ironic way. And I hope she spends the money, ironically, that I have given. what does that say there? Oh, yeah, just if you listen to my warming up podcast, the last one, the November the 3rd one, has a sort of mysterious, like, wanking noise on it. And it's not me wanking. It's about me going to a fireworks display, I think. And then it's like a ghost wanking. If you listen to it, it's kind of weird, because I think it might be genuinely, I've been messing around with the occult in this podcast and asking people about ghosts and stuff, and I think the ghosts are showing their displeasure exactly, they're showing I was covered in a kind of strange ectoplasm after that, but have a listen to it, it's kind of sweet. I think we could use it as evidence, because it's sort of, if it is me wanking, and I don't think it is, but I've got quite confused about, because I've been doing a lot of things where I split my personality. I might have actually just been wanking off, but from my voice, it'd be me too that's wanking, because my voice is just stays steady and not like I'm, and it's quite furious wanking, isn't it, if you've heard it? But it's worth listening to. I'm not trying to get you to listen to my other podcast, but that is, worth doing. And I'm a bit worried about the number of doppelgangers. There was a man in Richmond. Loads of people tweeting me saying, were you just in Richmond or were you just such and such? Were you here? And it's never me. And there's a guy in Richmond wearing a suit who was tiny, apparently, but I'm quite small, so it might not be. I'm worried it was me. I was in Shepherd's Bush when I got, and he was shaking someone's hand. He said, I saw you in Richmond. You were so cute. You were smaller than I expected. Yeah, and I tweeted back, said it wasn't me. He said, oh, are you sure? Because the bloke said, are you Richard Herring? And he said, yes. So there's a man pretending to be me. I'm a bit scared, but it might be me. That's what. Because with David Mitchell, again, I was talking about, you know, the fact that I was worried that that I was in a KFC in Portsmouth as well. And I'm worried I've gone mad, but I'm not. I haven't gone mad. Anyway, there'll be more from Harry Potter later. Look, anyway, we're going to get on with the podcast. That was, you know, quite a successful bit of... I made notes and everything in this, my slithering. Pretty cool, aren't I, with my slithering? Yeah. Not Hufflepuff like you, mate. Oh, you know it's true. So we've got a fantastic guest. I'm very excited about meeting. We've talked to him before on Rehefp. Not many fans of Rehef been. But we're going to talk to him at greater length. He is probably best known as the presenter of the Top of the Form story. We'll talk about him to that a little bit. I'm sure he's sick of talking about that. But we'll talk to him about that a little bit. Will you please welcome Dave Gorman? He is Dave Gorman. Are you Dave Gorman? Yes, you are. Hello, come in. You can take your mic out or have it in, whatever you prefer. So we'll get out of the way, Dave. Tell us some of the behind-the-scenes stories from the Top of the Form story.
The Top of the Form story was a one-off, I think, for BBC Four.
Amazing.
They celebrated the archive, the old game show from before I was born, called Top of the Form. And it was filmed in a warehouse in West London somewhere on a very cold day, and the only comments I got from members of the public were, how red is your nose? Because I just had a really red nose on this thing. And I kept saying, do I look cold? And they kept going, no, it's fine. And so, like, sometimes you do things on TV and you'll get things going, oh, that was really funny, or I hate you, or you're literally just like 50 comments from people going, you've got a really red nose. It's weird.
Well, it's what everyone knows you for, but we're not going to go on about it.
You know, if you see him in the street, if they've cut your cock off and then cut you in four, haven't they cut you in five pieces?
Maybe they cut your cock into four bits as well, and then attach one bit of the cock with a staple of some kind to each part. It's your whole genital region, including your vas deferens and your Cowper's gland.
Did anyone suggest like a Shrek to a Shrek? For putting a Shrek in it.
No. Okay. Well, because the Shrek is, for me, the perfect film in that it has a Shrek in it.
Yeah.
Shrek 4 is not as good because they put loads of Shrek. They put too many. So you could put too many in. It's just one Shrek. We just need one Shrek. And that's why Shrek 1 is a great film until Princess Fiona turns into another Shrek.
And then it's ruined.
Then
it's
spoiled to the end. I want to see a Shrek and a human woman going in. Is it just me? Is there some kind of chiming?
There's a strange
clock?
Sound. Dave, could you possibly use the backstage mic? I think
mic. Well, yeah, but they won't be able to see me.
You go. Doesn't matter at home for the people at home. We'll just pretend it's Dave Gorman. Now Dave could only do 3 minutes, and now it's going to be someone impersonating him from behind.
Better, to be honest with you.
It's actually Dave's timbre. He has a very grandfather clock style echo to his voice. Bang, twang. Is it weird?
That's worse, isn't it? That's worse.
We did test the mics. We're gonna soldier on.
I think we probably should.
Yeah, look, that's going to work out. It's slightly, it's going so well. Now it's slightly wrecked. Well, let's get this out of the way first of all. Second of all, because we've got the Top of the Form out of the way, which is the main thing people would want to know about. The Absolute Radio show that you've been presenting for 3 years, is coming to a closure.
Yeah, we have two more shows. And bless you for the boo.
Why didn't you go nuts on air and tell it and go, well, it's fucking ridiculous, I'm the best in the world at doing stuff. That's what I'm going to do when this podcast gets taken
off. I felt like that coin had been spent this week. I didn't think there was more mileage in that. And also, I know full well that I'm not the best, and that would be weird. And the circumstances are very different. I really like Danny Baker. I'm a huge fan. I think he is the best, and I think it's ridiculous, and he was angry. I also found it very hard to listen to that particular show. And I did say to the others on our show, you know, none of us are being inducted into the Radio Academy Hall of Fame. Let's not do what he did. That would be weird. So we avoided all that. But we've always done on our show, we've always had a rule, because almost everyone who emails a radio show adds a thing at the beginning of the email saying, love the show, but and our policy has always been to never read any of those things out. And we've always tried to strip the ego out of it. And we think we should leave in the same tone as we've continued for 3 years.
Very good.
So there. That's
you know what I think would have kept it going?
Yeah.
Well, then when I stood in for you for a couple of weeks, what I did, I put a Shrek in it. That's what you should have done. It was quite clever because it's the radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't, the Shrek was there.
There's a hidden tin from The Office that I've seen as well, actually. Yeah.
You put tin from The Office in.
But well, you don't know that we've been hiding a Shrek in the show.
This has been there
for
all
the whole of the last year, actually.
Oh, it's amazing that it would go, because that is the.
Yeah.
That's but usually would rescue anything, however poor it was. The Shrek, because you're looking at it and going, well, that's rubbish, and then,
look at the everything the Shrek. Is a little bit nicer with a Shrek, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. But it might be, because I think about 6 months ago we introduced a second Shrek, and I think we were probably overdoing it.
Too many Shreks.
Yeah. One Shrek. Yeah, I think you were right.
We jumped the Shrek. There you go. That's a good one bloke, Andy, like that. It's harder, isn't it? It's harder than it looks. You think it looks like just two blokes saying Shrek a lot, and then you think, well, I can join in with that.
Yeah,
I can say Shrek in a sentence, and then one bloke finds it funny. But to be honest, it's one more than quite a lot of it's what I've been saying so far.
I think you should get that on a T-shirt. Dump the Shrek.
Dump the Shrek.
I think you should get that.
I think the Shrek joke, the Ashrek joke, it's not the Shrek, it's Ashrek. The Ashrek joke has jumped the Shrek and the shark. Because I blew it in that, because it's been all over the place. Well, I quite like when I did it on Twitter, because then it becomes a trending topic, and then people who don't know anything about it will then see it. And one bloke going, what's this? Put a Shrek in it. It should be put Shrek in it, not a Shrek. grammatically incorrect. You can see
who would have thought they're a dramatic pedant on Twitter. Who would have thought they were there?
And then he said, you can tell it's half term. And if you could have seen me, I was sitting in Eat in the Westfield in Shepherd's Bush with tears of laughter running down my face at all the people doing all these straight. Then I got really bored of it a bit, then it became really funny again. But if you'd seen me go, some bloody 15-year-old, it's a 45-year-old man who has amused himself so much by this, he is literally crying.
And the angrier that man gets, the more amused you will be by it as well.
And someone said, who's Ash Wreck? Who is this guy Ashrek, and what should we put him in? Let's talk about Twitter, because you're a keen man, keen user of the
Twitter
platform.
Yes, I like Twitter, but there is a weird obsession people get with Twitter. I was very briefly on MySpace, and I was only on MySpace because there were two people impersonating me on MySpace, and the easiest way of getting rid of them was to go on MySpace. And I didn't like it when I got there. I'm not a friend of Tom, and I. So all I put on my MySpace profile was, I'm not really using this. There were a couple of people impersonating me. If you want to ask me a question, you can send me an email. If you go to my website, and here's where it is. And all that happened, not one person went there and thought, oh, I was going to ask him a question. Oh, now I know where to go and ask him a question. All I got was every time I'd sort of log in once a month and see what happened, and there'd be like 150 messages from people going, how dare you? I want to speak to you on MySpace, man. MySpace. I'm a MySpace. Why aren't you answering things on MySpace? I was like, if you went to someone's house, if you went to a friend's house and there was a note on the door saying, sorry, I'm not in, I'm in the caff, you would go round the caff, not leave a rude note at the house going, how fucking dare you for being helpful and telling me where you are. And there's a thing like that on Twitter now, whereas if it isn't on Twitter, it doesn't exist. And every thought must be expressed on Twitter. And if you can get something trending on Twitter, that is success.
I think it is.
And nothing else... But you know that it isn't, and that's why it amuses you. So people end up, they do this thing. You get tweets from people saying, let's get such and such trending. And sometimes the such and such means nothing to me, and it's clearly a campaign or a cause or something. And I say, what is it you're trying to get trending? What cause are you trying to help? And they say, just get it trending, retweet this. But then what happens is 10,000 people retweet that in order to get it trending, and it's trending, and you click on the trending link, and all you can find is thousands of people saying, let's get this trending, and no fucking information about what it actually is, and somebody somewhere sitting there going, yeah, we got it trending, aren't we fucking brilliant? And nobody is any the wiser about what it is they were trying to achieve. And then 5 minutes later, you click on it, and it's just porn bots. Because they immediately cannibalise anything that is trending. And I find all that really difficult.
I like the porn bots. That's why I got something trending. But then people kind of ask, they sort of get annoyed. And when a guy, most people are very nice about it. Obviously, you obviously get like lots of charity requests, right? And, yeah. I've sort of said, and I think you've said the same thing. I think I read you saying that. But you know, you sort of go, if I retweet all of your charity requests, I've got to do it for everyone. I can't just do it for one charity.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do everything that comes in, and if I then my whole feed will just be retweets of that, and everyone, no one, A, I'll lose all my followers, and B, no one will give everything.
I actually followed this the other day. I just as a bit of weird like research for myself. Somebody who'd been asking me to retweet a particular charity, and he was asking me once every 4 hours. And so it was clear that every now and then, and you'd look at his page, and every 4 hours, he would sit down at the computer and sit there cutting and pasting and hitting send, and he would ask like 150 people to retweet something. And so I looked, and I started seeing who had retweeted it. And in one day, he got 3 retweets. He asked about 900 people, and 3 of them retweeted it. I'm not going to say who they were, because it doesn't matter what the cause was or whatever. It was clear, it was for a good charity. One of the people who retweeted it was a beloved TV presenter who the nation loves. One of the people was a pop star who's slightly fading, and one of the person was a radio DJ who does a morning show on a not very well-known station. Between them, they had over 1 million followers. At the end of that day, so over 1 million people, in theory, have seen these retweets from these people. And at the end of the day, the increase on that man's Just Giving page was £7.50. That's a hell of a lot of effort asking 900 people to get 3 people to retweet it. And clearly, even when one of the nation's most beloved TV presenters retweets it to nearly 1 million people, one person goes and gives. And £7.50, one of those, you know, 2 people have sponsored him, one of those might have just been his mate anyway. You don't know it's directly correlated to that, but that's literally all it does. And actually, people used to go and organise a coffee morning.
Yeah,
that's a much better use of your time and energy than sitting there going, cut, paste. I've asked 900 people, I'm brilliant, mate. And I don't want it sounds like you're being really horrible, and you're all looking at me like I'm being horrible. But don't you pretend that any of you have ever clicked and donated because Emma Bunton retweeted a charity request. You know you fucking haven't, is the truth. And it becomes the background noise because it's so prevalent. And the minute it becomes the background noise, everyone feels they can ignore it, and then it's not doing anything.
Exactly. So if you wait until the right thing comes along, or you find an interesting way of doing it. So it's about...
Yeah.
You know, it's about
it has to come with a personal endorsement and a reason for it. Otherwise, it just...
I quite like the stupidity of Twitter. And you know, there was a very Dave Gorman-esque thing that happened to me just completely accidentally where I noticed someone else called Richard Herring was doing a Just Giving page.
Yes, I saw it.
I was a bit drunk and just thought, well, I'll retweet that and see if we can get like him a couple hundred quid. Just pretend that it's me let's surprise this guy in the morning. And then we raised like £3,000 because people thought it was funny. It was sort of like a practical joke.
Charity flash mob. And it was fantastic. And those things are brilliant. But you know, it's so hard when people... and they're trying to tug on your heartstrings, and it does. But if you were being rational about it... If you did one, it would be worth it, but then you'd have to evaluate the 50 you had that morning and say which one is the most deserving, and then you're literally judging whether something in memory of that person's child or that person's wife or something, which ones, it's impossible to put them in order.
And also your job would then be just doing that. Nothing else to do. So it's a kind of difficult thing to do, but yeah, I think, I mean, that for me, retweeting anything is sort of, if you start retweeting everything... it sort of becomes meaningless.
Yes.
And what I have written a list of rules, which is sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek, but also...
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I'll retweet things when I want to retweet them. If someone asks me to retweet something, I'm unlikely to do
that. I now have a blanket policy of I will never retweet anything you ask me to retweet.
Right.
And every time I say that, I get 100 tweets saying, please don't retweet this. And I don't. Which is all very nice.
How's it been working with Michael Legg on your Absolute Radio show? Because he is... You like being with people who've got the same name as you or the same face as you?
He doesn't have the same face as me. He has the same face as Mick Talbot. And he once had a beard and therefore got told he looked like me.
He does look like
he
you.
He doesn't look like me.
I keep on thinking you are Michael Legg. And I'm going to ask you...
That's going to make me angry and then I'll be more like Michael Legg.
Didn't your wife mistake Michael Legg for you on one occasion? Is there something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not like she went in and he was in the bath. And, you know, not in a terrible way. But yeah, she did see him at a distance and think it was me.
Yeah. I think that means he looks like you. Or your wife is kind of needs some glasses.
Well, I think it's... Well, clearly my wife needs glasses. She married me. She must need glasses. But yeah, no, people... Anyone in the world who is white, has brown hair and has a red beard apparently is my spitting image. And Michael, I admit, is closer than most. But no rational person, and only my wife, has made that mistake. But at a distance and walking into a room where she expected me to be. So she was slightly fooled.
Perhaps, but do you get... I mean, I've been getting a lot of tweets about me being in places where I'm not, being in restaurants. I said, when I tweet...
This is you just preparing an alibi,
well,
isn't
it? Well, it feels like it. I feel like I'm going to be...
I saw Richard Herring in Richmond being a sex pest the other day. Well, I think if you listen to this podcast, you'll find it wasn't me.
It feels like... When I wrote in Metro Ask about having given up drinking, and then someone tweeted and said, well, that's interesting given how you behaved in East London in the Curry House the other day. And I went, what? I've been to East London. Walthamstow, wasn't it? Walthamstow's a long way away to go for a curry. And then this guy, I said, well, what happened? He said, there's a guy and he looked like you and he was swearing and got thrown out of the thing. And then there was a guy in Taunton in the restaurant, it was me.
Yeah.
It's a man in Richmond pretending to me.
I get it a lot, and it's also because I used to have sideburns, which were... So that was very distinctive to people. So people, even more then, if they saw a man with sideburns, that must be me.
Yeah.
And I've met three people who swear that they've met me. And I know they haven't met me. And I know you can piece the pieces together, and clearly what has happened is people have gone up to a man and said, you're Dave Gorman, and he's been going, yep. Because they've told me about conversations. A guy who's a barman in Camden bought me a drink, and I thought, that's weird, thank you. And he said, well, you know, we've met before, haven't we? And I went, no, we haven't. I don't think so. Sorry, have we? He went, yeah, we were at the darkness together. I know full well I've never seen the darkness. But apparently I was buying this man drinks at the darkness and talking to him about my TV shows. So somebody has not only looked like me, but decided it's somehow advantageous to him to continue to pretend to be me and got away with it for a night, at least once.
That sounds like you're preparing an alibi. And he got off with... Apparently he got off with some girls at the darkness gig.
It does sound like that, doesn't it? But
it's a terrible thing to think that there might... I kind of want to give out some code that people will know it's me, but if I give out the code, I think the person...
The man
pretending
he
to me,
was going
to
find it.
He will know what the code is and he will utilise it. I'll say I've got a birthmark like a butterfly on my... right by my anus... Right, it's just right on the cheek of my anus. And if you see
that's
me in the street,
that's not a birthmark. That's a stain.
And if you see me in the street, ask to see that.
Now it's the opposite of preparing an alibi. Now it's preparing a crime.
Why would someone pretend to be me? I mean, I guess if you look like me, then there's no... You haven't got much option. You can't go, damn. Well, you can pretend to be Brad Pitt, because a lot of people think I look exactly like Brad Pitt.
Charlie Borman.
Well, you know, I'm thinking it might be Charlie Borman. But the people are usually... The Richard Herrings out there are usually behaving really badly. And there was one... There was one in the KFC. There was a photo, and I looked at the photo, and I thought it was me.
I had a 10-day holiday recently, and it coincided with my second anniversary. And so we were in Cyprus, my wife and I, and we went for dinner on the occasion of our second anniversary. And over my wife's shoulder sat down a woman who was the spitting image of my mum. And it completely ruined the dinner. We're in Cyprus, and it looked like my mum was over there having dinner with Alex Ferguson. And I felt like she'd come to spy on me. Mum, I'm 41, it's my second wedding anniversary. And I was pointing it out to my wife, and she was like, my God, it does. And then we had to do that thing where we were taking photos, and we're in a restaurant, you can't openly take a photo of a woman who's 5 yards over there. So I was trying to take photos as if of my wife, but actually zoomed in really far. And a little bit off-centre, so that I could show my mum when I got home.
Yeah.
And even my mum said, I thought that was me.
Yeah. Usually you get sent the phone and you go, that doesn't look like me. But this guy really looked like me, to the extent I think it might have been me. But it was like me. It was like me 10 years ago with a sort of slightly bit of blonde thing in my hair. And I think it might be the ghost of me, but I'm not dead.
We had a lovely email sent into the radio show one time, which sort of set off a meme that lasted for weeks on the show. And it was a guy, I can't remember the exact details, but he was driving like a maroon Vauxhall Cavalier or something. Something, you know, an old car you don't see many of, in a colour that you don't see many of, or something like that. And he was like on the M1, and he got overtaken by another maroon Vauxhall Cavalier. And in his head, he was thinking, I don't want to catch them up and drive past in case I'm driving that one as well. the fear of what will I do if it turns out that's me, which I love.
But is it you from the past or you from the future? It'd be quite cool if it's you from the future, because you go, hey, I get to live another until I look like that. And I just
and won't I still ever can't get rid of this shitty car.
Good. We're talking about someone heckling you, Dave?
No, I thought there was a question or something that was going.
Don't open up now. Their questions are terrible. Okay. We'll save it to the end. They might give some questions at the end. Are you looking at the little fly flying around? I think they got distracted by the little fly. It's attracted to my butterfly birthmark on my anus. It's grown right up there. I'd asked you this question. I have talked before in the Edinburgh Fringe podcast, yeah. And I listened to it. Which I never ever listened back to these. I fucking hate myself. I don't know how any of you can listen. I think I'm a complete dick. I don't know how any of you. You were very funny though, so it was all right. So I enjoyed your
bless
bit.
You.
But I did ask you one of the sock questions, which I'm asking everyone.
Yeah.
Which is, have you ever seen a ghost? And you hadn't.
I haven't.
But have you seen a ghost since August last year?
No.
It's unlikely, but it's...
It was unlikely.
But there is a subsidiary question to that now.
Yeah.
Has your sibling ever... any of your siblings ever seen a ghost?
If they have, they've kept it to themselves. Right. Which seems unlikely. I think most people who were convinced they'd seen a ghost would tell other people about it.
Yeah, you might be right.
But we have a strange way of communicating in we're not the most communicative family. When I was... When I proposed to my wife, we were at the northernmost point of Scotland, and we were in a real rickety hotel. And there was like one corner of the room where you could get phone reception. And so I just proposed, and my wife, my girlfriend at the time, had said yes. And so we called my wife's parents, who were saying, well, what do you mean you've asked somebody else to marry you? So we called my girlfriend's parents. And they were lovely and charming and sweet, and immediately asked to put me on the phone and were very welcoming and lovely. And then we called my mum, and I said, oh, mum, it's really good news. I've asked Beth to marry me. And she said, yes. And my mum said, oh, that's lovely. Have you heard John's news? So maybe they have seen ghosts and it just hasn't got round.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the kind of network.
What's John's news that he'd asked Beth to marry him? And she said yes, because that would be... Yeah, that's nice, David. Have you heard John's news? This no. might affect...
Your... That no. wasn't John's news.
No, thank God.
It was related to his work. But it... Yeah, I know.
See, you thought the sibling ghost question was useless, didn't you? But I wouldn't have gotten that out of him otherwise. Yeah. It's a very clever question.
I haven't seen a ghost, and none of my siblings have seen a ghost. But
yeah.
I have seen a ghost's sibling.
Right. Yeah, that's possible.
So
a living sibling.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What I mean, I've seen someone who has a sibling who is dead.
Yeah.
And if ghosts exist, then I've seen a ghost sibling.
I think you'd have had.
There's probably one in the room, to be honest with you. It's almost certain a number of people in a room like this that somebody has got a sibling. Don't want to bring it up, but it's likely. It is likely, isn't it? Really,
statistically. I think for that to be, for you to claim that, I think that the sibling would have had to been seen. The ghost, the sibling who was a ghost, would have had to been seen as a ghost by someone. Someone would have to say, "I've got a sibling,"
yeah.
And someone saw them on a castle tenement going, "Ooh." Which I don't know, it's unlikely they would be up on a castle tenement because they're from the 21st century.
Because ghosts are always, yeah, from sort of way back when, they're always 15th century handmaidens and people who fought in this war or that war. And, you know, people died in the 60s. You never see a 60s ghost. No, I've never heard a story about a 60s or a 70s ghost.
Takes a while to
hanging
qualify.
Around on Carnaby Street.
You've got to qualify, take the exams.
they should be updating these things.
Yeah. They should be, they should be. And just like prehistoric apes and like those strange little mammals that look like kind of rats. They should be ghosts of those. Yeah. You don't see those.
I once, I did a TV show years ago. It was about astrology and it wasn't very well received. But I was promoting it at the time and we did this slightly whorish bit of promotion. It was in the back of a magazine, of a red top weekend magazine. And they took me to meet three psychics. But it was all set up with the journalist and a photographer and a PR person and me. So not one of the psychics didn't know what was going on. We weren't sort of undercover journalism. It was three, a gang of us turning up at these houses, and they knew that I was promoting a BBC Two TV show. One of them was Sally Morgan.
Oh.
Who for years I appeared on her website as an endorsement of Sally Morgan. It actually said top comedian Dave Gordon as an endorsement on her website, which I loved because you're really not that perceptive. But so I, one of them.
Or
sort
she's
of
very
my,
perceptive, yeah, and the future, yeah, holds something quite unexpected for, yeah, you. I'm just saying. Might be a hung, drawn and quartered, and they don't get to the quartered bit. That's what I'm saying.
You never know. And one of them sort of read my palm, one of them did tarot, and one of them did, you know, read my aura or something. And they were universally terrible. It was hilarious, because I don't know if they know they're lying. I couldn't tell that. But I think some of them might believe what they do is real. But most of the people who go to them are going to them because they have an issue, some insecurity in their life, and they want advice and guidance. So most people, it's going to be either they've lost someone they love and they want to find out more, or they have issues with their love life or their health or finances. Those are kind of like the big areas that people are going to go and seek help on. And so all of their sort of script would be, are you having trouble with your love life? Are you? And they were kind of fishing for that area. And you think, I'm promoting a TV show on BBC Two. And two out of the three of them, their first question was, are you having money trouble? No, I'm promoting a TV show on BBC Two. That means I've just got paid quite handsomely. It's the stupidest fucking question you could ask. Out of all the obvious first questions, you've gone for the stupidest. They're amazing people.
Should have asked you that first. If only I'd known. Are you having trouble financially, Dave?
Well, I am now. Yeah. Yeah. I've just left my job on Absolute. I'm brassic, but I'm not. You're not a psychic.
I am.
You're not.
Did your gran used to have like blue ornaments on her, like on the fireplace?
Oh my god!
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She did.
Did she have like an unusual piece of furniture? Like there was just one piece of furniture she had that was quite unusual compared to what you wouldn't expect. Like maybe something from abroad, or just like something that wasn't quite a traditional piece of furniture.
Well, there was the torture chamber. We had a few bits.
The good thing about it is you have two cracks at it. That's the thing with your gran.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't specified which one. So you got just, it was, you know, got that doubles the chances of me being right.
This is true. And, you know, with modern Britain, as time goes on, people will have like eight.
Yeah.
You know, my nieces have got more than the two grands because people have divorced and got remarried and got step parents and the rest
and
of it.
And the ghost,
you know,
ones
it goes
as
on,
well.
Doesn't it?
Some,
yeah,
ghost
and the ghosts.
Yeah, they come in. They all
your
can.
Options are improving.
Have you And let's put in one question just to save some time, because I don't want to waste a lot of time on stupid questions. Have you, or any of your siblings, ever seen a Bigfoot? I love this question. It makes me laugh. I'm trying to do it seriously every time. Yeah. It always makes me laugh.
Can I clarify whether you mean a Sasquatch?
I'm glad you asked
for clarification. Or just an unusually big foot? Because we've been to the circus and we've seen those shoes on the clowns.
No, I do. I thought you were going to go for an even more pedantic question. I do mean a Sasquatch, yeah. But I would not accept a Yeti.
Okay.
If someone said I was in the Himalayas and I saw a Bigfoot, I would say, no, my friend, you did not.
Then no, I've seen a Yeti, not a Bigfoot.
I'm not interested. Yeah, I don't want to hear any more about it.
No.
I'm only just...
It's not worth talking about, to be honest, a Yeti at all.
So far, no one's seen a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Or you or David Mitchell siblings. I've only started asking the sibling question since last week. Well, I might have to get the others on to ask about their siblings because I didn't. But I reckon if one of their siblings had seen a Bigfoot, they'd go, I haven't, but my sister did.
You see, but this is working on the assumption that my brothers would tell me if they'd seen a Bigfoot.
I think they would.
We don't really have that many conversations. And most of it is filtered through my mum.
But with your twin, you have a twin brother.
I do. Have
I
a
assumed
twin.
You'd made up for that show, but yeah, it seems to have gone on long enough that I don't think you could have kept him on the payroll.
No, my
because I'd never heard of him. Then suddenly, oh yeah, I've got a twin brother. I've never, yeah, he's just come out of nowhere.
Does everyone always gone about their twin?
Yeah, they do.
Other adults constantly when you meet them say, oh, and by the way, I've got a twin.
I might have a twin. He's in Richmond, and I don't even. I haven't even been told about him. He's going around pretending to be me.
My twin doesn't look like me. He doesn't even... You know the twins had in Coronation Street, the McDonald boys?
Yes,
the one's blonde and thin of face and one was square-faced and
Is one of them your
hair.
Twin brothers?
No, like, we look less like each other than they did. And, like, when people meet the two of us, they don't even believe that we're brothers, let alone twin. And so I did a TV show and he was in it as my twin. And loads of people went, that's not your twin. You're making him up. You think, if I was going to make him up, I'd hire someone who fucking looked like me, wouldn't I? As there seems to be hundreds of them around, I'm constantly, there's one of them went to the darkness the other day. I'll get him a job. But no, my twin looks nothing like me.
But even so,
yeah,
you are cyclically linked. So if he saw a Bigfoot, you would also see it, even if you weren't there.
I'm not convinced those things are true. Although, there was a thing when we were younger where if he was ever in, like, pain, I'd have this real sense of pleasure deep in my guts. And it wouldn't be explained until later and I saw the bruises. And I think that went both ways. More the other way.
So, yeah, one of you's evil and one of you's good.
That's how twins have to be, obviously. That's how it works.
Yeah. We talked about the Google Whack thing in the Edinburgh thing. So you go and listen to that. But I'm not trying to copy you in everything you do. But I've come up with a thing that you can join in with me on this because I feel like it's slightly your idea, but I'm saying it's mine now.
Okay,
it's like a Google Whack of comedy, but what you've got to have is you tell a joke in a room that's got quite a lot of people in it. This would probably just about qualify that makes only one person laugh, and the other nobody else even smile. You've got to find a joke that ideally an entire 90-minute comedy show that makes one person laugh at everything. But no one else laugh. I think that's what you could string that into a book, couldn't you?
Yeah, and I think you have to stipulate that it's in English.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're inviting one Swedish person along and learning a language.
Well spotted. So or going to Sweden. I'd do it the lazy way.
Well, no, because then you go to Sweden, they're all going to laugh, aren't they?
Yeah, they speak English.
Yeah.
You're right. I'd choose a country where no one speaks English.
Yeah.
Or what about an audience where many of them have had their mouths stapled up and one of them hasn't?
Again, I find that cheating.
Okay. It's harder than it looks. And I have a few ideas for you, Dave.
Go on.
I'm now trying
to think of a joke that's that obscure. But
I'm doing pretty well. I do sort of Peter Kay kind of do you remember things and people, and I've managed to get things where like it's two, but I've never got down to one. I've got an idea for you that you could do. Go around the world. This is a personal thing I've had that you can get involved in.
Yeah,
I'm being magnanimous, but it's kind of because you do adventures. You've got to find it people who've got the exact same hands as you. And the reason that I do this because Emma Watson, who plays Hermione in Harry Potter, has the exact same hand as me.
How have you established that fact?
Wow, it's a good question. I went to Harry Potter World where I bought this
£18 Slytherin notebook.
Because I don't like Harry Potter. I've subverted it. And they've got their handprints of the young stars, and I put my hand in the handprint left by the hand that was Hermione's hand.
Yeah.
And it was exactly, I mean, not just close. Some people are furiously angry about it. A lot of people don't like the... I get onto this, they go, don't you fucking dare say you've got the same hands as Hermione. I have got the same hands as Hermione. They're exactly the same.
Or, you know, like, people say, oh, they got, like, the Beatles autograph in the 60s, and it turns out it was a secretary in a room just sort of signing all their autographs. Yeah. Maybe they were going, oh, we need to get these handprints. Can we get... Oh, no, she's a big actress now. She's not in England. There's that bloke in Richmond who's really... He's got tiny, quite feminine hands. Maybe let's get him.
It'd be weird. I mean, though, I've got kind of wide, short hands. I have looked at a picture of Emma Watson and for the first time looked at her hands. she does have really weird, kind of wide hands. It's kind of, when you notice it, it's quite horrible. But you could go around the world trying to find...
I have little, tiny, feminine hands.
Yeah.
And so I fear that would appear to be me trying to meet lots of 12-year-olds. And that's frowned upon in this day and age.
Suddenly it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my ideas for you. I don't know if I'm going to save up the other ones for later, because I think there weren't any more. was that it? Oh, would you be interested in doing an adventure book in which you and me... Get together, and I do this snooker podcast where I play myself at snooker.
Yeah.
Me one versus me two.
And I do darts.
Well, no, that's too complicated. Me one versus me two, play you one versus you two at snooker doubles, but not mixed doubles. So it's me, but I'll take a shot, then you take a shot, and then the other one of me takes a shot, and then the other one of you takes a shot, and we find out which coupling is the best out of those two.
That sounds very similar to you playing me at snooker.
It does, but it's very different.
Yeah, I'm not sure in what way the me twos are contributing a lot.
I think you have to listen to the me one versus me two snooker podcast.
Well, I have heard one of them, but...
you have that in common with a lot of people.
But I think you'd need to... I think you'd have to make it mixed doubles.
I think me one
and you two versus... You one and...
When you say me one, do you mean me one? Because mine are called me one and me two. It'd be confusing if you start calling yours me one and me two.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to start referring to mine as you one and you two, though, isn't it? Because then you've got you two playing snooker with it. The whole thing's got... It's very complicated.
Yeah. And if anyone went to...
Because one of them's definitely got the edge.
That's good. We got an applause break. We'll move on. I was hoping
that was going to be the thing that only one person has. I'm frankly disappointed.
It is in terms of the comedy Google Whack, as I'm calling it.
Yeah. Gaggle Whack. Gaggle Whack.
Oh, he's even good at coming up with the names. have you ever come up with a terrorist atrocity? Like the Charlie Brooker one. I had an idea of people, like a woman with large, who doesn't have large breasts, having false breasts put in that were full of, the man's leaving now because he's had the idea of filling. People are leaving at very odd moments, presumably to go to the toilet. To put like inside their, you know, silicon implants of bombs inside their breasts, which I think has almost happened, it has happened. So that one's almost come true. Because I was at this Guy Fawkes night on Saturday, and every time I go to this field, there's 20,000 people in a field, and every time I say to my wife, and she hates me for this because I'm obsessed with death and terrorism, I say, if I was a terrorist, a bonfire night would be a great thing to attack, because there's a lot of banging and stuff. It would take people ages to realise. There's three exits to Ravenscourt Park. Just put a man with a machine gun at each exit and just start walking in, especially when everyone's leaving. I reckon you could take out 5,000 people. It'd be more successful than 9/11, and it would only need... I mean, you need a lot of bullets. But you could chuck in a couple of hand grenades, I suppose. I'm not saying do it. I've thought of that, and then that's... It's helpful, and I've pointed it out. And if that happens, I'll go, I did warn you. And if it happens that it's me who's done it, I'll go, I kind of did really warn you about it. Have you ever do you find yourself thinking them up or not? Is that not something you do?
No.
Does that make me unusual?
I've never once thought, how would I kill an awful lot of people? That's literally never crossed my mind.
I know, it's not
until
that,
now.
Yeah.
And it's going to haunt me.
I don't want to do it. I just kind of, it's almost like I'm thinking of it in order to try and prevent it. Because I think if I'm on a plane and I think the plane will crash, that saves it from ever crashing. It will not crash because I have thought of it. And it would be too much of a coincidence, therefore, for the plane ever to crash. And that is how you prevent yourself from ever being in a plane crash. And anyone who's been in a plane crash, it's your own fault. And you can tell that to anyone who survived or the ghosts of anyone you know who is...
But that involves everyone who's ever been in... You've got, like, hundreds of people on a plane.
Yeah.
And I reckon on every single flight, somebody has had that thought, what if it crashes?
Well,
so
all I can say is I'm walking evidence of the success. And if I do ever die in a plane crash, it's because I've forgotten to think that. So if I think of these terrible terrorist atrocities, they won't happen, but they nearly did. The one with the knives on the...
What's weird
is... driving a truck into people, surely that's going to kill enough people. You don't have to put some knives on the lorry. It's just... I mean, it's almost like a comedy idea. It's like, oh, yeah, we cut off someone's hand.
What's making me uncomfortable is we're recording this on November the 5th.
Yeah.
So we're going to come out of this. We're in a darkened room without internet access. We're going to come out and then find out whether or not there was a terrorist attack at Ravenscourt Park on Bonfire Night, and you're going to feel absolutely terrible if that happened tonight.
I feel vindicated. I feel amazing. It's just an idea for any of the Al-Qaeda people listening in. Don't do it. I mean, I would say don't kill any people. But if you're going to kill people, why not do it in a way that will amuse people and make them laugh a little bit as well? Because surely killing the people is bad, right? That's the bad thing. If you do it, have a little joke in there as well, like cutting off their feet before you kill them. Is that worse? Is that suddenly worse? It's sort of the killing's the bad thing. People's minds are all fucked up on this, Dave.
Yeah. I think maybe doing it as a novelty act on Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Just because at least then you're taking some of the right people with you. And you're guaranteeing it's being filmed, so you guarantee all the publicity, and that's obviously a large part of what they want. That would do it for me.
Cool.
Maybe like a Gallagher tribute act. You know, Gallagher is an American comic whose main thing was smashing melons with mallets. And that was it, basically. That was the act. I think maybe a Gallagher tribute act where the fourth melon contains some high explosives and takes out Amanda Holden.
Right. Don't have someone upset by that idea. It's nice that you love human life that much.
Yeah. It was okay when it was abstract... random thousands of people. Now it's not abstract, and someone we've seen on the telly and is quite pretty. We're not happy. You've got a very strange sense of morals, whoever you are down there.
Did you see this thing about the Egyptian Coptic Pope?
Picked by a boy out of a ball.
Yeah, blindfold. A blindfold boy.
Yes.
Who was one of 12 boys picked out. They put the three candidates' names in a bowl, like an FA Cup draw.
Yeah.
And made him pick the winner out.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. I actually think all elections and everything should be done in this way. I'd like to see a wider field of candidates.
I got slightly sort of thrown mentally when I heard about it, because every time I hear Coptic Pope, I hear Copstick. And then I think of the Scotsman comedy reviewer Kate Copstick, and I love the idea of there being a Kate Copstick Pope who's just going around giving other Catholics reviews with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars as she sees fit.
Well, in my system, she could become the Coptic Pope, because I think they should put everyone's name in that. If they really fucking believe in God, he'll pick out the right one, right? And it's given him a choice of three who are already high-ranking Coptic people. I think it's giving God a bit of an easy ride. If there's 60, you know, 6 billion balls in there, and then the kid picks out old Archbishop, whatever his name was, then you'd think, fuck, the Egyptian Coptics are really onto something there. I'm going to support them. But if it picks out... The chances are they pick out someone who wasn't an Egyptian Coptic, who would then have to be the Egyptian Coptic Pope. I think that'd be quite interesting.
But this is the answer for every organisation that pisses you off, is that now the rules are that the BNP have got to be open to any membership. They have to allow anyone to join them. So what should happen is that millions of us on the same Monday should all join and then go to the annual general meeting and change all the policies. Because we will then be in the majority.
And we should do that with absolutely everything. We should all join the Tory party, and we should all go to conference, and we should all start weighing in, and we should all tell them to not take away disability benefit, because we're now members of your party and you represent us, and we should just constantly hound people out of organisations by joining them.
Good work. I think they would just keep going and forming new ones.
Yeah, but then they haven't got the brand. It's very powerful, the brand, in British politics, isn't it? It's Labour and Conservative, and then Lib Dem. Oh, we're not so sure, but Labour and Conservative, they're the two big brands. And when they're not the Conservative Party anymore, they've got to call themselves something else, then they're outsiders, and it'll be...
It's a good idea. But I think with the American election, for example, all the billions of pounds that get spent on, billions of dollars get spent on them doing... And it comes down to two blokes, and one of them's usually quite evil, and the other one's a bit less evil.
Yeah.
And you can sort of buy your way to be the president. Even if they just said, like, we're going to make it 100 guys, we're going to take 100 top politicians, and we're just going to pick out of a... We're going to get a blindfolded boy. I think that's always the important thing. It always
Must
has
be
to
boy.
Be. Blindfolded boy or a monkey.
Yeah,
a blindfolded monkey, so there's no...
Just to make sure he's not cheating, an actually blind boy. So there's no chance of him rigging, looking through the blindfold, being paid off. He's actually just medically blind. And it's
or freshly
random...
blinded for the purpose. A freshly blinded boy.
Somehow I knew that you were going to go there.
Then you can be really sure, because like a blind dude, a boy who's been born blind and lived for 8 years as a blind boy might be able to sense the different weights of the balls from the sound they make.
Yeah.
But a boy who's just had his eyes literally poked out, I think, would have been distracted enough by pain and the confusion
to
make a fair choice.
Alternatively, you could, just to save that happening, you could, and this is just an idea, have all the balls actually weigh the same instead of your system of we're having them differently weighted, so that an actually born blind person would be able to tell, and so you have to blind a child. How about not blinding the child and making all the balls the same fucking weight?
They would be able to.
What's so difficult about that?
Very. A lot of it, there's like blind people who can really tell the difference between. There's one who can do radar. Have you seen that blind guy who can do radar? So they can do. He'd be able to just sense even like a tiny milligram of the different ink. You have to take that into account. So it's safer, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is an important decision. This is the President of the United States. We don't want to mess around, give anyone a chance of cheating. But if it was 1 in 100, I don't think Mitt Romney would bother going for it. And no one would support him. None of the big businesses would get behind him. You go, you've got a 1 in 100 chance of being the guy. We're not going to give you any money to, you know.
How would you select the 100 people? Just completely at random?
I'd prefer it to be random. I think wouldn't it be a better system? I think this is genuinely quite a good political system. You put everyone's name in a hat, you pull out 12 names and you say you're the cabinet. At least they wouldn't have all gone to the same school.
If they did,
go, oh, this is pretty amazing. So I think the random nature of it, I think the chances are, you might get someone terrible, but democracy is thrown up in 100 years. Hitler, Margaret Thatcher... Mitt Romney, possibly. So, you know, I think there's a good chance of it happening without that. There's sort of 1 in 2 chance. If you make it 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000, it's not any, and you could spend the money on something reasonable and decent, and then big business wouldn't get behind and go, I'm supporting this president, until afterwards. And you might actually just end up with an honourable person who wouldn't take the money.
Yeah, you also might.
But you'll never end up with an honourable person in the current system.
Are you convinced of that?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So there's a chance you might get someone who's great. There's a chance you might get someone who's awful, but you're pretty much going to 1 in 2 get someone who's awful as every 4 years.
Yeah, Romney scares me.
Yeah,
Romney does scare. Cause I didn't realise how insane Mormons were until I went to Salt Lake City.
Right,
and I just thought Mormons were kind of, you know, another branch of Christianity, no worse, no better. It's just like Methodists and Catholics and whatever. I just thought it was in the kind of panoply of Christian faiths, and then I met some of them, and they're not. They're properly mental. I'm an atheist who I would like to think respects other people's faith. If you want to make that choice, that's absolutely fine. But they love Scientologists. Scientologists have taken all the heat off the Mormons because the Mormons are as insane as the Scientologists. Just Scientology is more recent and more obvious. Because Mormons believe that Jesus went to America. And they believe that the Native Americans are a tribe of Israelites who travelled to America. And they believe this because a man called Joseph Smith
told them that he found a book in the woods made of gold. And he carried it back to his house. And he tells them this story because he doesn't realise that the book he's described, if it was made of gold, could not be carried by a human man. It would be too heavy. But he didn't know that because he'd never seen that much gold. So he carried this book home. He also found a pair of magic glasses that helped him translate the book. And the book told him about how Jesus had travelled to America. There's no archaeology to support it, and boats weren't possible to get that far at that time. It doesn't, but that doesn't matter. He's got this magic book, and he's translated it with his magic glasses. He then showed the book to 11 people who all swore they'd seen it, although later on some of them said actually they hadn't. And then he went and gave the book back to God, and it ascended up to heaven. So there's no evidence that this actually happened. Years later, another scroll that he found, and he said was something like from the Book of Abraham, when they found the Rosetta Stone, which meant they could then decrypt old writing, this turned out it wasn't from the Book of Abraham at all. It was some Egyptian papyrus record of a wedding. It was just a bit of filing and paperwork from back in the day. So he's a known liar. He's a proven liar, the man who found this book, and now millions of people have got... That's as insane as Scientology. And one of them might end up as the most powerful man in the world. Until 1972, they believed that black people were inferior. And then it became a bit politically expedient to actually acknowledge that they weren't. And so God changed his mind in 1972, yeah. According to them. That's fucking mental. It genuinely scares me.
Yeah, well, hopefully he won't be present. I think he might be.
I don't think he will be, but you don't know.
And the world's going to end on December the 12th.
Yeah. God used to think you could have as many wives as you wanted until Utah wanted to join the United States, at which point God changed his mind. It's weird how God is so tied into what's politically useful for Utah.
He's got to be allowed to change his mind.
Well, yes.
If you think about it, God, you know, it's sort of odd that God would come up with a moral system that's based on... I can't imagine that God eats or goes to the toilet or lives in a desert, and yet he does go to the toilet.
Does he go to the toilet? Otherwise, what is rain, Richard? That's God weeing.
Where does his poo go if that is the case?
Well, we hear it, don't we? We hear the thunder.
Yeah,
must be landing somewhere.
Somewhere on the moon, the dark side of the moon. That's why it got so dark. But, you know, it's odd that he would make up a moral system, you know, based on something with a digestive system that lived in a desert, and that's most of it.
Yeah.
And then had to broaden out. He didn't think ahead.
No.
Is what I'm saying. But anyway, I will move on to an emergency question, because it's got a bit serious with all the...
I'd apologise to get angry about
Moments, no, it's good.
They are.
Allowed to. This is about the hour mark. We're allowed to get a little bit serious. If you had to have... got the choice. You either have a hand that is made out of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream, but wait until you've heard it all.
Yeah.
The hand ham, if you eat or anyone eats the ham hand, it will grow back, but not immediately. It's not a magic.
Yeah.
It will just...
It is kind of magic.
It obeys the laws of physics and biology. It will grow back in about a week. Right. If you ate it, or you could have a nibble and that would grow back in a short amount of time. Yeah, so you'd always be there. And, you know, if you're hungry and you could feed people.
And it's a functioning hand.
Yeah, it works as a hand as well.
Yeah.
And the sun cream armpit, it kind of dispenses when you want it to, but not an unlimitless amount. So it would be enough for you and your wife and maybe two small children of your choice to have enough for it to keep you in sun cream as much as you wanted for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Where well, that's come from. But that's it. You couldn't just start marketing Dave Gorman's armpit sun cream. But you have to choose one of those two things. And if you have any subsidiary questions about this, please do ask, because I want you to be able to make the correct choice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's best to treat me like I'm a very intelligent five-year-old child. Yeah. Then which would you choose out of the ham hand or the armpit that dispenses sun cream?
Well, I don't eat meat.
No?
But I don't do that for moral reasons. I just do it because I don't really like meat.
Do you eat sun cream?
No.
Okay.
However, even if you didn't eat meat for moral reasons, a hand that grew back would not confront any of those moral issues and would be able to feed some people who were hungry in the world, but then you'd have to be there, and they would literally be biting the hand that feeds them, wouldn't they? And that would be odd and inconvenient. Although you could just chop the hand off and leave it, knowing that in a week or two, you've got the new hand. But in the meantime, you're inconvenienced. And I guess the feeling of, well, I did a good thing because I fed someone a whole hand of ham would offer some solace, but I'm not sure enough for the inconvenience. However, sun cream is alarmingly expensive.
It is.
I find. It's one of the... It's annoying, and they put a must-use-by date that I don't believe, but I'm too scared to use the old stuff in case that means I get skin cancer because I didn't trust them. So I end up buying... Not that I've only been on two holidays in my adult life, but I buy sun cream when I go overseas and then throw it away, and it annoys me. I think the saving, given how expensive sun cream is, the saving I would make by going for the sun cream for a whole family would allow me... I would consciously put the money I'd saved in an account that I used to buy ham.
It's a good, thorough answer. Thank you for thinking about that.
You're welcome.
Have you ever tried to suck your own cock? I thought I'd asked him this question. I haven't asked him. So I'm interested to know.
I'm very glad this didn't have all your siblings. the usual codicil thrown in for fun. No, I haven't. I haven't. No, it doesn't.
Never been curious?
So, not been curious.
So certain that it wouldn't reach, that you didn't bother?
So certain that it wouldn't reach.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It didn't. It's never looked like fun.
Definitely has. He's doing it now. If you had to have sex with an animal, if you had to, we did talk about animal sex quite a lot in the previous podcast, and that wasn't even a question back then. So we'll see where we get to.
Yeah.
But you had to say like something terrible was going to happen to the
and
world,
and it could be prevented.
Or if you did it, there'd be ham for everyone.
Yeah.
There'd be ham hands for the whole of anyone who was poor or hungry and not a vegetarian would get a ham hand.
Yeah.
And anyone who was a vegetarian
get a corn hand.
Which animal you can the person who's making this bargain is saying, it's all right, Dave, you can have sex with any animal you want, but it has to be an animal. It could be a specific famous animal or just a species of animal.
Yeah.
Which animal would you have sex with?
A Shrek.
Not sure that is an animal. I would accept it. I'm gonna go one more. One more. This is one that hasn't come up very much, I think it came up once. What is your favourite cheese? It's a good question. You wait and see the answer. This will bring up some answers. It's not a sex base. That's why you're not as interested in it. You're like, when's the sex with the Doctor Who? You're thinking, when's he? I wonder what sex and Doctor Who monster Dave Gorman would have sex with. He's never going to be asked that question. We will never find out. What's your favourite cheese, Dave?
Dalek.
Oh,
sorry. Damn, sorry. Cheese. Sorry, I was thinking of another question. I'm late to cheese. I used to be very bland and, just sort of... It was mild cheddar that was in my fridge, and I was not very adventurous with cheese. But as I've got a bit older, I've got more of a taste for it. I don't know the names of all of them, so I'm going to have to be bland in a way and say, I really do like a good wheel of brie.
Mm.
That's a wonderful thing. I didn't realise it was rude to go to the middle of the wheel.
With your penis, it is. Yeah, don't do that. That is rare.
Yeah.
In France, that is considered
I only discovered it was rude recently to,
to take out the middle. What do you kind of...
When it's presented as a sort of triangular wedge, obviously the point of the apex of the triangle is it would have been at the middle of the wheel. And if you cut that bit off, people tut, tut, tut at you and think you're being rude. I didn't realise that, so I offended someone recently. By doing that.
Are you going to apologise for offending them?
I did apologise at the time for offending them.
Do you want
I don't
to make
think
a public
they
an apology?
To this podcast.
They might do.
They might do. On the off chance they are listening, Tim, I'm sorry I went to the middle
of
your brie wheel.
Would be someone called Tim, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Grow up, Tim. I want to talk to you about asparagus week because I was interested in this subject.
Yes.
It came up in Dave Gorman's PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
So I have asparagus wee. Assumed everyone had asparagus wee. If you eat asparagus, your wee smells of asparagus, right? Yeah. Am I right?
Well, no, it doesn't smell of asparagus. It smells of sugar puffs.
No, it smells. No, I wouldn't say. There's things that do make my wee smell of sugar puss, but asparagus isn't one of them. It smells sort of
asparagus.
It's a
very similar smell that comes if you eat both of those things.
Okay.
I don't know. It's the same chemical in both of them.
You're the expert on that. I'm not
brings it out. I think 86% of the population experience this phenomenon where if they eat asparagus, they can smell it in their wee. For me, it happens within 5 or 10 minutes. Mm. It's very, very fast acting. It goes straight into the system.
Me too.
And I think that's probably true for most people. Now, you might think that means there are 14% of people who are unaffected. And that's not true. I'm not quite sure which way it is. I think 8% of people think that they're not affected. But they are. It's just that their nose doesn't work. The bits in your nose that smell that particular smell do not exist in 8% of the population whose piss stinks just as much as yours and I's, but they have no idea. And only 6% of the population are genuinely completely unaffected by this phenomenon. Mm. I know I am, and it happens within 5-10 minutes. Mrs. Gorman says it doesn't happen to her, and she won't let me smell her wee.
See, this was for me, this was the big sticking point with the show.
The obvious thing is I could get her to smell my wee.
Yeah.
And then if she could smell it, we'd know that she had the ability to smell it, but she won't even do that.
Would she agree? That's in the marriage contract.
For better, for worse.
If my husband asks me to smell his wee, I will smell his wee.
Yeah, she won't.
Did you exclude that from the service?
We wrote our own vows.
She won't smell it. I think you should smell her wee. Yeah. I think you should go in there one time when she's weeing and catch her up by... and smell it, because I want to know whether she... That's the big mystery of the show. I think you could do a second show...
All about that.
My wife's wee.
She is here, Beth. Yeah. Just yes or no, can I please smell your wee later?
No.
Let him smell your wee. What's your marriage to him?
I'm going to respect my wife's wishes. Can Richard...
Ruins... I'd love to smell your wee. But you have to eat some asparagus first. I'm not weird. Just don't want to go and smack her. Yeah. Smells quite uriny. I want to smell the asparagus. Is it that for me, aside from there being no Shrek in that show at all, the big drawback was not finding out whether... I think, you know, you've been around the world, finding people called Dave Gorman, you've kind of travelled over time zones, you've been, you know, and then you're
we've
prepared...
We've all travelled over time zones, Richard.
To get to, it's kind of, it looks like that you're not going to do it.
You made travelling over time zones sound like I was Doctor Who for a minute. What you mean is I've been to foreign countries.
Yeah. You've allowed the time zone difference to make you complete a task. And yet you won't smell your own wife's wee.
No, I will, she just won't let me.
Divorce her. Everyone, divorce, divorce. Let's smell a wee now. Let's make a wee now. And then...
Well, no, we need the asparagus first, don't we?
Should have come prepared. Next time you come on...
I'm sorry.
I'm
going to respect her wishes and not smell her wee. I do, when we've had asparagus, I loiter near the bathroom.
Yeah.
But... She's lighting matches.
Sometimes when I do an asparagus wee, even if you flush it, it still smells of asparagus afterwards. That's how much I'm affected.
It's very pungent for
me as
well.
Would it make you happy if I let you come and smell my asparagus wee?
Should we, after this, both go and have a bit too much asparagus?
Then we could smell each other. And then you could see that mine doesn't really smell of sugar puffs.
Yeah,
and I could smell yours and go, oh, yeah, it's a bit like
it's
sugar
not that,
puffs.
It's the smell of when you open a fresh box of sugar puffs.
Yeah.
That smell is what I smell when I or anyone who I'm smelling the wee of has had asparagus.
What other people's wee have you smelled? Is this why she won't let you smell your wee, her wee? Because she knows that you smell the wee of so many other women.
Asparagus.
So she doesn't want to be.
Asparagus was on the menu of our wedding breakfast, which means that most of our wedding guests had asparagus, and the toilets that evening were permanently infused, so permanently that you wouldn't know who was individually responsible. So it didn't help with the mystery of my wife's wee.
I think if you a blind child who had been trained, I think they could decide. They've been trained from birth to smell different kinds of asparagus wee. I think they could smell, and I think if you have a blind child, this wouldn't be a bad thing to an experiment, at least to be an interesting experiment to carry out through their life.
Because you're balancing it up, you're thinking, oh, piano tuner, wee smeller, which one's it going to be?
And then I reckon they could decipher. We could probably do an American show about it. That's what they like in America, don't they? They're like Medium and Dexter, it's that kind of thing. like someone who's blind but can discern whose asparagus in a pot of lots of people's wee, they can say that bit is yours.
Yeah.
There might be a crime that would be useful for. The police force would keep them on board. It's got to the stage where just nothing's going to...
The work. Point of the opening titles when they're going... It was him. Is my favourite.
I tell you, he wouldn't be... He must be annoyed at the moment. This is a callback to the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. I bet he's annoyed by the news at the moment. Old Paul Daniels, I bet he's really cross about what's going on. wow, it's good. It's a good callback. Let's not explain it, because some people will love it.
I think we should. This is that thing again about Twitter, where every thought must be expressed, and if you haven't expressed it on Twitter, you're not thinking it. So people will say things like, can you retweet this to show your support for the nurses? I think, aren't we all supportive of nurses every day, all the time? Like, do we need to... I don't understand the idea that if you haven't... And people do this on Twitter with the Jimmy Savile news and things, and Freddie Starr is doing it in his defence. He's going, I can't believe they're accusing me of this. I mean, I've always hated paedophilia. It's one of my pet hates. That was the phrase he used about paedophilia, one of his pet hates. Oh wow! You hate it more than other people do. You've measured how much the society hates it, but you really hate. I think that's a thought that no one needs to express. Personally.
I think turning it into a pet hate makes it less than hating it. It's weird. It's one of those things that slightly bugs me and annoys me.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could only wipe it out, but you can't. Oh.
It winds me right up. It really does. Honestly, people who are slow in the post office queue, litter and paedophiles. They're my pet peeves. If you make it a peeve, it's even worse, isn't it? You know, yes, and I can't remember, Paul had said something about, I hate that kind of thing.
Yeah, Paul just did a joke about Gary Glitter, using his wig as Gary Glitter, and then everyone said, I can't do that joke anymore. Everyone laughed, and then he said, I hate that stuff.
I love the idea of having to say so. If I don't say it, they might think I'm on his side. Such a weird idea.
So, anyway, that's that. Oh, I want to talk about this. This is a review of you. We're going to stop soon. But I'm going to see if we can just bulldozer through. I want you to discuss this. I don't know if you've seen this review. Do you read your reviews?
I do. I also forget them.
This is a really weird review. If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy...
Which is a big if.
It's a big if. But the person who wrote this review explains it.
Yeah, yeah.
The outspoken voice of the disenfranchised youth, dehumanised by the press and feared by parents nationwide.
Which is not what I've always thought Mick Jagger was.
Mick Jagger and Frankie Boyle. It's quite complicated. If Frankie Boyle is Mick Jagger who does those things that Mick Jagger doesn't do. So he's a Mick Jagger...
If Frankie Boyle
was a Mick Jagger,
it's the Mick Jagger that this reviewer is imagining.
Not the famous Mick Jagger.
If Frankie Boyle is a Mick Jagger that you and I have not heard of, but who possesses these qualities,
then, if that is the case, then Dave Gorman is Ringo Starr. But presumably not the Ringo Starr.
Another Ringo Starr.
Let me tell you, because then that is explained.
I've not read this.
This is then explained. He's an everyman. He's well known and provides entertainment in a variety of guys. This is Ringo Starr. But he still gives the impression he'd be incredibly polite. If he ever met your mother. So, what do you say? If Frankie Boyle is that Mick Jagger that's nothing like Mick Jagger, would you say it was fair to say that you were the Ringo Starr that suddenly provides entertainment of variety? I mean, Ringo Starr provides variety by playing the drums and sometimes narrating Thomas the Tank Engine.
And sometimes singing.
I guess that's nearly a variety. Yeah. But a variety of guises. It's a variety of guises. It's not a variety of ways. No. And it's like that you do this as well, because you are this. You're more this than Ringo Starr is, because you're the Ringo Starr who does this. And that people... I don't think he'd be polite. Ringo Starr wouldn't be polite if he met your mother, would he? He'd be just kind of offhand and be a bit up himself.
Ringo.
So you're the Ringo Starr that would be polite if you met your mother.
I got slightly obsessed with Ringo at one point. His website was amazing. I get slightly obsessed with certain people, and it's often when they have a website and there's a, like, Paul Daniels in his early iteration of a website was fascinating. Yuri Geller in his first website was just, I would spend hours poring through the little details in there. And Ringo was one also. His website's changed and it's no longer all there. But it was like a man who had just discovered how to use the internet for the first time. And the thing he'd been taught was how to take a video and put it online. And so there were just these endless, mind-numbing videos. And it would be, it was as if he'd woken up and had to learn everything again, including language, but had found a magic box that took pictures. So the videos were him in his garden saying, "Hello, Ringo here. I'm in my garden. Here's a flower. And this is a tree. Peace and love, peace and love." And there would just be like hundreds of them. And they were addictive. I was just like scrolling through Ringo's videos constantly. And then he had that slight snap moment where he was suddenly, "If you've ever sent me anything, fuck off." And got a bit rude, and he would not be polite to your mother.
I wouldn't be worried about taking him home to my mother. But that's not who we're talking about.
No,
we're not talking about that.
Exactly.
We're not talking about that Ringo Starr. We're talking about the Ringo Starr. Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's fair to say that only in these conditions, if Frankie Boyle is Mick Jagger, who is the outspoken voice of the disenfranchised youth, will you put this quote on your next poster in full? In quite bigger letters than your name. So it says Dave Gorman quite small. Or could this be the name of your next tour?
I think I'm going to make this the title of my next show, and I'm going to make the words Frankie Boyle, Mick Jagger and Ringo Starr really huge. And leave my name really small so that somebody walking past it sees the poster and thinks, "What? Frankie Boyle, Mick Jagger and Ringo Starr are collaborating? What could this be?" Because I think the people who fall for that are my target audience. The people who, if you drew a Venn diagram of people who like Mick Jagger, people who like Ringo Starr and people who like Frankie Boyle, who would sit in the middle of that trifecta, they're my audience.
Cool. Well, let's do it.
I'm still struggling to decrypt.
If Frankie Boyle is Mick Jagger, right? Let's try and imagine that first of all. Let's try and imagine he's Mick Jagger. It's hard to do, but if he is, the Mick Jagger of comedy. So no, that's a bit. He isn't Mick Jagger.
No,
he's Mick. We all think of Frankie Boyle.
Frankie Boyle is to comedy as Mick Jagger is to music,
strutting around on stage flamboyantly, pursing his lips, thrusting his.
He's such an eccentric performer, isn't he, Frankie? He's so physical.
Very physical. The outspoken voice of disenfranchised youth.
And he's so youth as well, isn't he, Frankie? He's always going on about the youth of today.
And so's Mick Jagger. I think a lot of young people look up to Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Dehumanised by the press. Dehumanised by the press, which... Is that true of Mick Jagger at all? Has he been dehumanised? People are looking at Mick Jagger. He's not a human being. The press have written so much about him.
The youth had been dehumanised by the press.
Oh, maybe. No, I think it's him. He's the outspoken voice of disenfranchised youth. He's dehumanised by the press and feared by parents nationwide. It's not Mick Jagger, is it? Mick Jagger's not feared by many parents. Then... Then you are. I think what they're saying is that you aren't Ringo Starr. I think that's what they're saying. Frankie Boyle isn't Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger isn't that stuff. And so if it was that stuff, then you would be Ringo Starr, and you would be the Ringo Starr who's nothing like Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
But and this is the point that this is why it's a genius writing. This is the point the reader has to put together. But Frankie Boyle isn't the comedy version of Mick Jagger, and nor is he the comedy version of Mick Jagger that isn't Mick Jagger, which means that you aren't Ringo Starr or
the version of Ringo Starr that is nothing like Ringo Starr, the variety of guises.
I feel an overwhelming urge to tell your mum to fuck off. proving that I'm not that version of Ringo Starr.
She deserves it.
And I'm not. Because it's clear that the person who wrote that review actually thinks that Frankie Boyle is Mick Jagger, okay. And that I am.
Oh, hold on, then I have to rethink. I thought I'd got it.
But if
Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy and he has all those things.
Yeah.
But that, they could think that, but that mean that they still think that you were that.
They need another paragraph where they explain what I am if Frankie Boyle is not that, don't they? They need an or if
Frankie Boyle isn't. Maybe that got sub edited out because I think maybe if there was a sub editor on this, they might have gone to work a little earlier.
But if Frankie Boyle is the Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis of the News of rock and roll, a charismatic singer who had a time in pub rock and was the first band to use a drum machine in a chart hit, leaving people like Ringo Starr bereft of employment, then Dave is an unemployed drummer who hates your mum.
Ringo Starr. I think they like the show. I think they like the. I read the rest of the review.
I think they like the show.
I don't think they're saying Dave Gorman, what a cunt.
No.
I think they're saying, you know, you're nice. But I'd just gone, if Frankie Ball seemed a bit of a wild card and you can't be sure if he's going to say the wrong thing, you're probably a bit safer with Dave Gorman. He's probably not going to start mocking disabled people halfway through his act.
Yeah. What they've done, because most reviews they've got maybe 150 words would be a sort of average space for a comedy review. Sometimes they might have 400 words, and sometimes they've got 800, depending on the publication and how weighty you are deemed to be by that publication. What that person has done is use almost all of their word count advertising the fact that they're mental.
But it'd be quite good. I'm quite keen to just throw this open to the people at home. It's like an exam question. If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy, then David Gorman is Ringo Starr, all that stuff. Discuss. Whoever sends in the best eight-page A4 essay.
Or maybe it will feels win a prize. Like you can ask all that question and then end it by just saying, which train will arrive first?
Be quite good. Another one of your reviews is the master of the unexpected punchline. That's what you are.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Because there's lots of people who have mastered the expected punchline. There's loads of people who've got those brilliant punchlines that you know are coming. But I've really mastered the surprise punchline.
Well,
to get to the other side.
I did not expect that. So there was so much more I think to talk about with you, but I think we maybe throw open, have a couple of. We're going to see if the audience can come up with some decent questions. That guy last week, 2 weeks ago, I was David Mitchell. I was only messing around. I deliberately kind of made it look like I was upset and crying at the end of last week. I was only messing around. It's just what I do. So don't worry. I think I'm better than all of these people I interview. Just the world. Don't shut up. I'm talking now. I'm like the Danny Baker. If I am the Danny Baker of the podcast and have sacked myself for being self-indulgent. Has someone got a question? Was the lady shouting something out there or a high-pitched man? No? Where? That's good, I've got you. There's loads of... There's someone with a hand up really high. Looks like a kind of ape of some kind. I can't see, it's very dark. It's maybe a man or... I think it's a gentleman. Hello. It is a man! Hey. Correctly identified.
Would you have done Are You Dave Gorman if we had Facebook already?
Would you have done Are You Dave Gorman if there were Facebook already?
It's not whether I would have done it, it's whether it would have happened. Because the question sort of presupposes that I did it in order to make a show... And I didn't. I made a show about some stuff that had happened. But the thing, the first domino that toppled was me being in a pub with a friend, and I'd had an email from someone telling me that the assistant manager of East Fife Football Club was called Dave Gorman. And we were a bit pissed. We were in a lock-in in a pub somewhere, and I'd said this, and he thought I was making it up, and I think he was just having a bit of, he was just being a bit gnarly and stupid with me. And going, no, it's not, no, it's not. And we got very drunk and ended up going to King's Cross and getting the first train up to Scotland and went to the match. And that was the first moment that became this story that I told people about. If that conversation was happening today, we wouldn't have gone to the train station and got, one of us would have got a phone out and gone, there you go, there you go, there's the proof. And so the conversation wouldn't have gone any further, so it wouldn't have happened. So it's not, you see what I mean? That, no, it wouldn't have happened, but it isn't. It was never, let's do this thing and write about it. I'm nearly bankrupt because I've done this thing. I'd better tell people about it. That's the order in which it happened.
If Frankie Boyle was the Mick Jagger of comedy, would you still have done Are You Dave Gorman?
Well, now I'm in the a situation I never thought I'd be, where I'm now thinking, what would Ringo Starr do? And I've never thought that before in my life.
I tell you, if David Mitchell had come up with this idea, it would have been very easy for him. I looked at David Mitchell on the IMDb, 46. Dave Gorman, there are only two Dave Gormans, and I think the other one is probably the Dave Gorman that you had in your Dave Gorman
show. There are
show.
Two of us on...
you're number one. You're Dave Gorman one.
And he is Dave Gorman two.
Yeah.
And he was on my show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there aren't many... It's not,
it
not
would
very
be a bit galling
name.
If he was number one and I was number two, wouldn't it?
But David Mitchell isn't the first David Mitchell. I thought David Mitchell would be the first David Mitchell, but he isn't.
Well, there's an author, isn't there? But it's a...
There is, but that's the common one. But there were literally 46. We don't want to go over last week's joke, but just listen to it. It was amazing. Anyone else got a question? Yeah, they're not worried now.
There's someone down here.
Ah, hello.
Yes.
Have you ever used a 3-day-old Yorkshire pudding as a substitute for prawn crackers?
Have you ever used a 3-day-old Yorkshire pudding as a substitute for prawn crackers? I'm hoping that's some kind of reference to your work that I don't get. Otherwise, it's quite could be a new emergency question you've created, sir.
Yeah, I think it probably is. No,
it's no ham hand, is it?
No, I haven't. But I have used a prawn cracker as a 3-day-old Yorkshire pudding. So.
Did you
similar, but not the same.
I used to have golden syrup on my Yorkshire puddings when I was little. It's nice. Like sort of pancakes, savoury pancakes.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah. But I didn't like Yorkshire puddings. I do now. I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
I was from Yorkshire, so I should have, you know, it was like I was nearly left out on a hillside. But then
I think you've confused Yorkshire and Sparta.
I don't think I have. You clearly never been to Yorkshire. Cool. Well, we've had a nice time, haven't we? It's been right, isn't it? We had a nice time, everyone. I haven't looked like I was going to cry at the end. I did cry, but we've laughed a couple of bits.
Mainly the Mick Jagger review.
Mainly the Mick Jagger thing.
I'd love if Mick Jagger was getting a review somewhere. If the Rolling Stones are back on tour now, and if they were getting a review saying, if Mick Jagger is the Frankie Boyle of rock music.
I think we need to look at the Ringo Starr bit again. He's an everyman. He's well known. I mean, he is well known.
I don't think of Ringo as an everyman. You don't see Ringo and think he is just like us. That drug casualty who can't remember the heyday.
He provides entertainment in a variety of guises, right? But he still gives the impression he'd be incredible. if you met your mother, but he wouldn't be.
No, he wouldn't.
I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying he looks like he'd be polite, but then he'd get there and he would, you know, just punch your mum in the face.
I think if I spend the next 2 years of my life professionally trying to be more like Ringo,
yeah,
then will Mick Jagger turn into Frankie Boyle?
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be thinking about this one for quite a long time. If you have an essay, do send it in. It has to be handwritten on A4 lined paper. We'll read it and mark it and return it to you. You can send it to me via the Leicester Square Theatre. I won't get it for a couple of weeks, but I promise to read it and mark it and return it if you put a stamped address envelope. And that is the question discussed.
Where was that review in?
It was in, I believe, in Gigglesbeat, the website Gigglesbeat.
That explains why I haven't seen it.
I did some proper research and I wrote it in my Slytherin notebook because I'm a little bit evil. I'd be on Slytherin. I met Draco Malfoy, and I was in the same room as him. It's a bit scared to meet him. Don't really, didn't check his. If I'd known, it was before I'd done the hand thing, I would have checked his hands. I'd have gone, can I just put my hand against your hand, Draco Malfoy?
Ooh, it's made of ham.
Yeah, I think we should go. It's, again, it's sort of, you know, we should end. Why don't we just do a massive ending and then do three encores? Thank you very much for coming to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast. We'll be back with Adam Buxton on the 19th. That's pretty much sold out. You might be able to get a couple of tickets. And Russell Howard on the 3rd of December. Some tickets for that one. I kind of don't want that one to be full of teenage girls because I think I'll probably be arrested straight away afterwards. So, we find it very hard not to do a variety of jokes. So please, if you're a grown-up and preferably a very unattractive man, could you come to that one and at least fill the first five rows?
Although Russell won't know what the fuck is happening. If he looks at an audience of ugly old men, it will freak him out.
Welcome to my life. Why don't we get some cardboard cutouts just of the front row? Not you two on the end there. Not you, madam. Just stick that there, you'll be very scared. Anyway, thank you very much to my guest, Dave Gorman. Ladies and gentlemen, come and see him on. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, David Gorman. The music was by Pest, thanks to Orange Mark and the British comedy guy, PCG. Ian Tunes at iTunes. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz and Sky Potato production for the internet. It's free. How'd you like them Sky Potatoes? Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. It is free. If you've enjoyed it and want to give something back, why not come along and see one of the other shows? If you're in London, Adam Buxton on the 19th of November is pretty much sold out, but do check with the venue for tickets. And the 3rd of December, we have Russell Howard. Or you can buy stuff from GoFasterStripe.com. Fist of Fun Series 2 will be out by the end of the month. You can go and pre-order that now if you want to see it with minimal cuts. I'm on tour with Talking Cock. This month I'm in Aldershot on the 17th of November, Newbury on the 29th, and Windsor on the 30th. All the tour dates for those and next year and all the details are at richardherring.com/talkingcock2, the number 2. Have you got anything to publicise, Ben? You could also listen to Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown with Pappy's, the Perrier losing comedians, who are a rival podcast. We should never put. Do they publicise me on theirs? No, they don't. Fuck them. Go and listen to their things or go and see them record them.
No, no recording, just listen.
No, just listen. There's no recording, just listen to them on the internet for free. You don't need, and don't, but don't buy any of their stuff because it's not worth it. But you should buy some of my stuff if you like. Or just tell your friends about this podcast. There's loads of them. They're all still up there. They're all free. And maybe they'll buy something. Who knows? Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And
would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.